Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday.
Speaking of projects, by the way, if you see me throughout the entire show picking at my hands, it's not a skin condition. My hands are covered in the remnants of polyurethane foam.
Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
It was a
problem. Okay. Explain that. Just
finish. You just thought it was cream? Walk.
We've had problems with paper wasp nests.
Bees everywhere!
Areas underneath the railing, in between the vertical bars, there are openings that the paper wasps cannot resist.
God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
So I figured, why don't I beat them to the punch? And instead of waiting for them to build the nests, why don't I fill in those areas? So I thought, okay, you know that, like, crack-filling foam, that expanding foam?
My day, we used to call it bathtub crank.
Yes. I said, this is perfect. You get a can of that, there's a little hose on there, you spray it in, it expands, it hardens, done.
Infomercial.
Right?
Wrong.
Total failure. I tried to spray it in the first one. It doesn't stick to the wood, and it falls out, and it falls on my hands, and it falls on my pants, and it falls on the floor, and it hardens, and there's nothing you can do about it. Everybody's saying with that particular foam, it takes 2 weeks for your hands to replace the skin. Nothing works. I'm not kidding.
Somebody else also recommends that you should have used gloves. Thank you for that, sir.
Oh, wow, and, here you go.
And Ryan Pace should have drafted George Kittle instead of Adam Shaheen.
Shaheen's talented.
Dan. The Builder. Can we fix it? Dan. The Builder. Yes, we can.
Not correct.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
I'm never going near that stuff again.
Spray it toward the wood.
I think I breathed in a bunch of spray paint.
9 a.m. to noon.
So Dan is high on this show.
No, I was high later because I had ether.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
But I just want Dan Bernstein to pay attention.
Yeah, it's still on there, actually. So we'll
it
throw
is?
The bulletins. Yeah, it's.
How did
it's
you cook
okay.
with it? Because isn't it flammable?
No, it's just the residue. It's still kind of a coating, and it's on my nails. But we're getting there. It's better today than it was yesterday. So I think we're emerging from the polyurethane foam coating at some point.
If it's on your nails, then you should be able to use acetone at this point.
No, it doesn't work. It chemically doesn't. I would use acetone on my skin. Acetone does not dissolve this stuff. I'm telling you, there is no remedy. There is nothing we can do. We're all going to die. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we are going to talk baseball with Craig Calcaterra. We are going to play Don't Be That Guy as Layla Rahimi wades through the cesspool of social media and gives us some instructions on what not to be. This is all brand new to me, some of this stuff, and I had no idea some of these people existed, but so be it. We'll do the Midday Midway at 10:40. Casey Johnson at 11. Got some White Sox talk and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That is the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Email Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. And your texts go into the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. And just don't be weird. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Feel free to be weird. I'll just block you or mute you anyway. So that's we have those tools at our disposal. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show on Facebook. You can also join us on Twitch. That's always fun. It is twitch.tv/Chicago670 the score. Hi. Hi. How's it going, Twitchies? And there's a conversation that occurs there concurrently as people watch along on the Twitch stream. Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gerch handle that. Jay Zawoski is our producer, and Jordan Malley is our sound man, coming up with all the fun stuff to start these shows. Remember what we said about the Bulls a little while back? Remember what we talked about when we said that we wanted to possibly look back at this and have the Bulls be able to turn a negative into a positive and say, while Zach LaVine was away, we figured some things out.
You mean you wanted the Bulls to have the attitude of the Bears after the 6-game losing streak?
No! I don't want that. Don't put words in my mouth. That isn't what I'm saying, and I'm not talking about losing games. I'm talking about them learning what they have to do, what they have to be, and maybe Zach never learns it, and maybe he never becomes the defensive player or understands what they have to do. But no, I didn't say take 6 consecutive NFL losses and then say after the fact that it was a positive. Positive. Stop it. No.
Or you know that Mitch Trubisky may not be a really good deep threat, kind of like Zach LaVine isn't a really good defensive player, but that they work their way around it.
Look, I'm trying to be positive about the Bulls, and you are insisting on dragging me to a dark and horrible place, and I'm not going to stand for it.
Collaborated with Billy Donovan.
I'm not going to have it.
What did you say about collaboration?
You're all bastards, all of you. You all are. You're all horrible, horrible people. Because all I'm trying to say was they could say, you know what, now's the time to look inward. Now's the time to listen to our coaches, to know we need to get stops, to know we need to not turn the ball over. We need to defend without fouling. And next thing you know, they start to find their footing a little bit after a road win against a good team, granted down a bunch of players. No,
and maybe
it's
they
not
make
the
expanded playoffs. And maybe they, you know, play a playoff game. And maybe that playoff game simulcast on Nick. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there so early this morning.
Yeah, you did.
No. You said it. It's all I could think about.
You didn't do it by accident.
I did. I swear I stumbled into that.
That's
why I'm laughing so hard.
You got into the bathtub crank this morning.
I wish. Yeah. I think it's just good old-fashioned sleep deprivation and the fact that it's snowing on April 20th.
I was trying to compliment the fact that they understood, or they have appeared now in 2 of the 3 games to at least understand what they have to do. And I love the combination of Tice and Vooch out there together doing some high-low stuff and seeing the, you know, the 2 big, giant, angry white Europeans flailing their arms at people, one offensively, one defensively. And now, of course, we're worried that we're going to lose Daniel Tice. After all this, it's like, yeah, this guy's awesome. How are they going to re-sign him? You know?
Kind of like Allen Robinson. Okay, I really will stop. I really will. The thing that I thought was so good about that Bulls game, and I know that this was a depleted Celtics team, but frankly, we've seen the Bulls play during this bad stretch, a lot of depleted teams, and not do what they were supposed to do. But the defensive play that they had in that fourth quarter, and really starting in the latter half of the third, was very impressive. And it was the combination of Tice and Vooch that worked.
Yep.
And we wondered what the lineup was going to look like moving forward and how the void would be filled. And we're starting to see that. But the closeouts in key moments, too. Just to see actual defensive closeouts like that out of Tice that made such a difference, that messed with shot selection, that forced the defense forcing the offense to move in different places on the part of the Celtics. Wasn't that refreshing?
Get stops. It's incredible what happens. And I don't want to go all Tom Thibodeau or Stan Van Gundy here, but
why not?
You can't get into basket trading. And too often the Bulls have done that. And this was when you decide that you're going to, they know how hard they have to play defensively. And I'll tell you this, as much as I lamented the loss of Shaq Harrison, Troy Brown Jr. is pretty damn good defensively. I'm not sure that he's got the offense that merits big minutes. He plays really hard. and he understands defensive intensity, and he understands it's like when you talk about a hockey player getting the most out of his shift. You can see it in him, and it's not wild and spazzy and stupid. It's under control, and it's aware, and having a defensive glue guy like that and knowing when to unleash him, finding the right matchup, the right timing, the lack of turnovers. He saved one on the baseline, too, that would have been one had he not been able to leap up and knock it back in late in the game. I think they only turned it over 12 times. It's pretty good.
That's huge. That's the reason they were in this game. That's the stat that we always have to look to figure out whether or not the Bulls were truly in a game. That is their telltale piece of information. I also think that Garrett Temple, who we heard with some really good comments after the game that really actually add to what we are discussing right now, him being back was a huge help. But I just can't believe we're talking about good defense out of the Bulls. That's the most shocking piece of all of this. And in clutch moments.
Yeah, but the coaching point too. I mean, feeling yourself and knowing you can do it. And the coaches are exhorting you to do it. But to have actual manifest evidence that you have done it is now someplace you can go, you know, going forward and know that there are results from this and it can be done. You mentioned the Garrett Temple sound. We're going to hear it. Also, there's really good stuff from Coby White about him learning how to recognize things on the floor. Billy Donovan also talked as well about defense. So the Bulls, in their own words, you get to hear from them next. Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, Gary, what would you like this team to take away from these last two wins, just the way y'all played and how y'all came out with these W's?
That defense can win games. The old saying is still holds true. Obviously we lost a big piece in Zach, 28 a game. But if we're able to guard like we're capable of, obviously like tonight, we have enough on the other end to score. Booch did a great job for us, keeping us in the game in the first half offensively. And then it opens up shots for Kobe, myself, you know. But I think the biggest thing is that we defend, we grind. We guard like we're capable of, then we can win any game we play.
Oh, don't mess with the Booch. Yeah.
That's Garrett Temple. Can't argue with that. He's right. And they did. And they got late stops, some very satisfying ones. They challenged shots. They didn't foul unnecessarily. They were able to take advantage of their opportunities at the line. You know, it's an easy game. When you don't turn the ball over, you make your foul shots and you guard people, good things happen. Billy Donovan knows that. And he, without sounding like he was making any excuses here, he's been really open about where they are now and just how much the trade deadline affected what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Joe, and I don't mean this maybe how it's going to come out, but the trade kind of really messed up our team a little bit. And I don't say that like in a negative way. What I mean by that is everybody kind of got out of their normal rotation, their normal, you know, how they were playing, how they were being used. And I think we lost a little bit of our competitiveness, not because we didn't want to compete and play hard. I think it was really more of the fact that the matter was guys are trying to figure out how to handle their roles and what to do in their role. And I think what happens is when you're thinking a lot, it takes away that edge. And, you know, we've changed over a period of time. But, you know, in fairness, I think to those guys, the trade took us some time, you know, getting used to. And I do, like I said, back when we were playing at home, I think going forward, it's going to be really good for us and it's going to help us. There's no question. But with the limited amount of practice time and, guys being in and out and guys trying to learn a new system, it's been hard to practice and kind of get any level of cohesiveness. But, you know, we kind of lost our way a little bit, to be honest with you. And, we talked a little bit after the Orlando game. You know, those guys, you know, met and talked. And I think, you know, they all know what they need to do with inside their role. And they all understand how they've got to play for each other on defense. And they're going to have to give that kind of effort. And, those guys have done a good job making the commitment to do it. But I do think some of it earlier on was I think guys are maybe overthinking and try to figure out, you know, geez, you know, my role's totally changed. Like, I've never played this way before, and I've had no practice time, and the game's starting, and all of a sudden, Vucevic is now in the starting lineup against San Antonio. Tice is not there. He comes back for the next game. He's in the and all of a sudden, it's like, you have to do that. There was no other way around it.
Right.
But I think it took a toll on us. I think it really took a toll on us. And I give our guys a lot of credit for staying the course and trying to show the resolve to keep sticking with it, to try to figure things out, even though, you know, we had some very, very disappointing and heart-aching losses. But I do think that, you know, they're starting to understand how to play with each other. Now, to your point, it's been two games in a row. Can we come back against Cleveland and do it again? Can we come back against Charlotte and do it again? That's the sign of a good team when you can consistently do it. And to your point, it is two games, but I'm anxious to see how do we come back and do it the next night out against Cleveland.
Why can't all coaches just talk like that? You ask him a question, and he gives you a complete, thorough, thoughtful, honest answer. It's so satisfying.
Can't have the other coach having the game plan, Dan. We can't have that. There's all these secrets when your game is broadcast to millions of people at a time, you know.
I mean, we always talk about it being a basketball coach thing, but just like he wants to talk about his team. He wants to tell you what's going on because it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
He also knows that we're not stupid. Like, hey, yes, the thing you're seeing is the same thing that we're seeing. Let me validate that for you because that's what a good manager of people does.
Here's how we're working through it. Here's what you're seeing is real. Here's how we're dealing with it. Here's how we're talking about it. God, the tone that sets for everybody is just really strong. And you love hearing it. And one of the guys who's thrust into a bigger role here with Zach LaVine out has been Coby White. And it seems there's some times where I start to think like he's starting to get it a little bit. And this was a comment that I think cuts in a couple of different directions. And it's fun to get this insight, but I also think it raises some questions. It was Coby White responding to Darnell Mayberry about picking up there was a ball screen action with Daniel Tice where they blitzed it. Tice rolled to the basket and he had him on those Inspector Gadget arms. He's not going to miss. He just throws it near the rim. He's not going to miss it. And he did see it later. So what did he learn and when did he learn it?
Nah, I knew I missed him the first half. He slipped out of it. I knew I missed him, but it's crazy because my brother texts me every halftime to check on me. And I knew I had missed him the first half. So I think the timeout, I said, I missed you in the first half. Keep slipping, I'm going to get you. And when I came back to the locker room, I checked my phone because I know my brother texts me every halftime. And he said those exact words. You got Tice on the slip out every time because they're switching the first screen on a double drag. So when I came out in the second half, I knew that. I had already knew that they were switching. So when he slipped it, all I had to do was throw it to the rim, and I knew he would go get it.
Well,
how
thanks.
Good is that?
Yeah, thanks, Coby White's brother. But he did say
Will,
that he
– Yeah, Will that, White. He's wonderful.
That, Coby did say he recognized it before he got that. He was just reinforced because you would hope that he understood it when it happened, that even though he missed it, at least he's growing if he knows what he missed.
Oh, absolutely. How long have you been waiting to hear Coby White say something along those lines? Like, how long have you been waiting to hear him put it together from an X's and O's standpoint and tell you what he's seeing? To me, that's always the progress of a young athlete. Is when they can tell you exactly what they're seeing and how. Ayo Dosunmu does this so well already in his young career. And I think Coby White seeing this is a huge sign and an indicator that he's moving in the right direction.
Quarterbacking, it's I know you were joking about it before making some of those comparisons, but that this is what Matt Nagy's always talking about is knowing what's in front of you. Knowing who's going where and why they're going there and what a defense is telling you to do by how it's responding.
Situational. It's the situational aspect of a game. Situational basketball being a huge key, especially from the college game going into the NBA. College coaches will always tell you that the thing that their young players have the most trouble with, especially if they only have a couple of years of experience at max in college, is situational basketball. Now, this is a little different because it's play recognition, but it still plays.
One of the people also helping Coby White in his development is the guy we heard coming into this segment, and that was Garrett Temple. So he was asked about what has become his mentorship role.
Yeah, Coby probably thinks I talk too much. I definitely try to talk him through things. We were just lifting together after the game. whatever I see on the court, when I am playing, when I'm not playing, I try to talk to him and let him know. We watch film together every now and then. But I just want to let him know the things that I see, let him know how he can help the team, how he can affect the game defensively and offensively. Just nitpicking here things here and there. But he's done a great job. He did a great job defensively tonight. And, you know, when he knocks down shots for us and he's aggressive offensively, we're a tough team to beat.
This sounds like a solid developmental culture at the moment. And I've said some pretty harsh things about Coby White's play, and he deserved it. And I'll say the same things about Lauri Markkanen or anybody else when they deserve it. But it does sound like he wants to learn and wants to listen and wants to improve on these things.
Oh, absolutely. And another nugget that I think we should point out after the game was Coby White talked about how he's cut down on his turnovers lately. And the person that he said he gives the most credit to is Mo Cheeks. And we wanted to know and knew that Mo Cheeks being on the staff was going to very much help with the player development side of this. And if that's not a good enough advertisement, I don't know what is.
We've been trying to get Mo Cheeks on the show. I really want to talk to him because he's so insightful. And he just has a very gentle teacher and really fits in as that sort of good cop type assistant coach. But he's been reticent to be sort of public about what's going on. But when you think about it, that's, I believe when he retired, was he the all-time NBA steals leader? And up there in assists, I think people underrate just how great a point guard he was, and played alongside and against great players. So I would hope that a younger generation understands that, and that his words carry that kind of gravitas that they deserve.
Oh, and you see that because Coby is not exactly old. So hopefully that adds to the respect of Mo Cheeks as far as generational talent is concerned. Here's the question that we're left with now after watching all of that. How much better are they defensively without Zach LaVine? And is it to the point where you have to ask yourself about the minutes that are being given on the floor?
That's a fair question. That's what was going on in my friends. The White Sox group chat quickly morphed over into a Bulls group chat last night. But
Team Reinsdorf chat.
Yeah, we know Zach, he's not a great individual defensive player, but he's a good enough athlete that he should be able to fit a team defensive mentality. Because old coaches love to say, anybody who can play offense can play defense. And I tend to think that's true. Then you just have to understand, you just have to be aware, you just have to anticipate, and you got to know how to watch film, you got to watch a lot of it, and you got to be a good listener, and like you say, understand those situations. And it's not just when can I score next, when do I get the ball back. It's taking defense as seriously as you take offense. So I'm not going to write off Zach LaVine and say, see, they're a better team without him. I think that would be stupid to say they're a better team without him. But I think you can ask the question in exactly the right way. How do you fold him back in and get everything you need from him while also maintaining the integrity of your defense? And I think it's going to start with re-signing Daniel Theis.
It's a worthy question. That's just where I sit with it. It's just a worthy question. Also, to your old coach mantra, I would say that AAU basketball says no. AAU basketball says, and the N1 tour. AAU basketball and the N1 tour say, there is no defense.
Yeah, I guess there's a time and a place for it, but that doesn't change. Anyone who can play offense can play defense.
Should play defense.
I didn't say will. I didn't say should. I didn't say will be asked to. But I said that is an athletic skill that should translate in both directions. We have baseball talk coming your way next. Craig Calcaterra, he of the Cup of Coffee newsletter, makes his weekly appearance. Cubs, Sox, we had that crackling West Coast series and all sorts of other stuff. And apparently a lot of eyes on baseball with people are really tuned in at the moment in ways that they have not been. So it's interesting, as Craig always is. He's next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.